And they just get together. You know, as a matter of fact, we did that. We did that last year. We just pitched a tent, hooked up a generator, and it was just a family. And we got on the air and we just had fun. You know, and a lot of it was because we, in the business that we work in, it's so everything is so up in the air all the time, and it's hard to make plans. You know, so your local groups usually will plan out what they're going to do. So unless you just want to go visit, it's difficult to fit in. And of course, my two sons, they're pretty hands-on. They want to pull antennas up in trees and do all that kind of thing. So we just decided, hey, we're just going to do this. We're just going to be part of it. So I'm sure that goes on all over the country. You know, it really does. And folks probably have a big time doing that.
I know here in Cookeville, where we're at, we usually have one group of hams that like to camp, and they like to throw the wires up in the trees and all that and get a great thrill out of it. And they will be out there most of the day today and into the night doing that. And then a lot of times they'll show up over here or they'll give us a call, and we even talk to them on 10 meter. So you have different hams, again, that enjoy different things. You know, some of us that are a little more comfort-minded, we like to be in the air conditioning, and others like to be outside. But it's whatever you enjoy, Ted. If you like it, do it. Enjoy the hobby. Enjoy the friendship and the companionship, and enjoy field day. Great concept. It's just a great day. Everybody says, Well, Dr. Barrett, this is like Thanksgiving for you. And I said, no, it's really more like Christmas.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, but the thing of it is that is what's so cool, because if you're listening and you're a shortwave listener, you're contemplating getting into ham radio, you don't, if you're just not a camper, you know, you just don't like mosquitoes and you don't like tents, you don't like the sound of generators running, you can still participate in field day. And actually, stations like that are needed, because they're in some cases where there's a station set up running full power, it does give other folks a chance to make contacts that they wouldn't normally be able to make. It gives them the points. And
well, that's one of our theories of field day. We feel like there's a lot of stations out there that are set up portable. They're doing the true spirit of field day, I guess, Ted, but we set up in the command center here with full power. We run QRO and run all the bands, and you'd be surprised at night or when conditions are bad how the portable stations can't always hear each other, but they do have somebody to work. So I think if a guy's at home by himself and he's not near a club, or he's just not where he can get together with a group of friends, I think if he gets on there and runs a one day, you know, one operator, commercial power station, and he's making contacts, it gives you somebody to talk to, and it makes the experience more enjoyable. So I wouldn't feel bad if I wasn't with a club or wasn't with a group of people and I was running commercial power, whatever. Just get on there and key the mic and talk to folks. Or if you're so inclined to hit that straight key or that iambic paddle and have at it.
Well, you know, first field days are really incredible. I mean, the very, very first field day that you've ever witnessed or seen. Do you remember your first? The first time you ever...
Yeah, the first field day I ever experienced was at the top of the solar cycle, and folks were working Oklahoma from Cookeville, Tennessee on HTs. So they told me, Michael, this is a once in a lifetime. You're not going to see things like this. And Then the second field day, I recall, Ted, we were on 6 meter, and it was like some rare exotic island or rare DX QTH location. We were 6 meter was piled up with 30 or 40 people at any given time, so you had a lot of quite a lot of activity on 6 meter. So I've experienced it all. It's like 14 special events all rolled into one. Every band has its own special event going on field day.
We've got someone on the line here with us, and let's just check in right now. Is this Michael Lee?
No, this is Lee. How are you?
Okay, Lee, this is Ted. How are you doing?
Hey, Ted, fine. How are you doing?
Well,
do you want me to give you some information about what we're up to?
Absolutely. I want to know all about your club and your field day setup and what you guys
okay,
are having.
Very,
Go ahead.
No problem. We've got a lot of noise in the background, as you can hear. We've got a lot of stations running here, operating single sideband and digital modes as well. Also, WRSC, Silver Comet, and we are the Silver Comet Amateur Radio Society. And we're located in Dallas, Georgia, about 35 miles west of Atlanta. And we're operating 2A, Alpha, Georgia, with Matt. And started 5 years ago. And we are doing a lot of neat things throughout this county and throughout the area. We operate special event stations. We've done several over at historical parks. Of course, the Civil War was big in the Atlanta area, as you probably well know, listeners do. And we do special events at Pickett's Mill, the Battle of New Church, which is one of the big battles of Atlanta. And we've done a lot of other things as far as doing classes for new amateurs. We have also done a lot of raising dolls and teddy bears and stuff for Christmas for the battered women's shelter in the area. And we're very civic oriented. We operate with amateur radio emergency services, and we just like to do a lot of things of community to help the community.
Okay, now when you were talking, we were having a little bit of difficulty here with a bandwidth situation, and you were dropping out, so we missed it, and I'm sure that if I missed it, the listeners missed it too. You are located where at now?
Okay, we are in Dallas, Georgia, about 35 miles west of Atlanta, Georgia.
All right, so you're... And the number of bands that you're operating on right now?
Okay, we just had about four or five guests leave that were here that just stopped by that are not part of the club, and we were explaining to them amateur radio. Several were non-hams, several were hams, and they just left. Right now, our operators, we've got about six operators right now operating, and our call sign is W4RSC, Whiskey 4 Radio Silver Comet, and it's the Silver Comet Amateur Radio Society.
Okay, this sounds... Yeah, I've got that now. This sounds good. We had something happening here a minute ago, and you were dropping out, so we may want to cover this territory. We may want to recover the territory you visited here just a second ago to make sure everybody got all that, because I know I was missing a good portion of it. Okay.
Okay.
Now,
all right. Let me basically just say, in a nutshell, just to... make it in a capsule format, because I'm sure there are other field day sites that would like to get on. We're a club that started about 5 years ago. We are heavily involved in the community, and as far as amateur radio emergency services is concerned, we've been teaching classes that were developed by one of our members, K4OL, who did a fantastic job with that. We've done some testing. We also do digital workshops. We operate field day. We have a lot of special events that we do. We have done several special events for Civil War battles from around Atlanta. One is the Battle of Pickett's Mill, the Battle of New Hope Church, and we give certificates, and we're an ARRL-affiliated club, special service club. And our website is www.silvercometars.com. And our call sign is W4RSC, Whiskey 4 Radio Silver Comet.
Okay.
Roger, roger.
Roger, roger. Now, the fellow K4OL that's doing the classes.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about those classes. What areas do you cover in those? Is it training for passing the license or the test, or does it have to do with ARES?
Well, it incorporates the license class is what it is. It's for technician class licenses. And what we do is, Les, K4OL, developed this class. It runs over four weekends on a Saturday, approximately 6 to 8 hours a day. And there's a lot of material covered. There's homework and all like that. And then at the weeks, there's a big review. Then the VE testing through ARRL. And we give the tests, and we're getting ready to do another one of those this fall.
Well, very, very good. Sounds like you guys, you know, that is so cool, especially when a club is sponsoring classes. I just love to hear that, because that's a that's an open doorway to get younger people involved. And, you know, I've heard folks say, and maybe you're a good person to bounce this off of, I've heard folks say, well, since the advent of computers, young people are just not into ham radio anymore. You've got classes going on there. Are you finding out that that's the case? Are you finding out that young people really would love to get into ham radio?
Well, it's interesting that you asked that question, because the last class that we did, we had a gentleman and his daughter came over clear across Atlanta, about 20 or 30 miles away, and came every Saturday. She was in high school. He was already a ham, but he wanted to upgrade. And, of course, she did not have a license, and she was in high school. I think she was a junior or maybe a senior. I'm not sure. But very nice family, and she came over and studied, and she wanted to get involved, not only because her father was involved, but she wanted to get involved to talk to other young people. And, of course, around the Atlanta metro area, there are a lot of young people on that are hams that are on the air. And she got herself a handheld, and she's talking up a storm.
Well, that sounds really, really cool. What is the average size of your classes? I mean, how many people usually are in one class setting?
Okay, the last time around, it was during the it was kind of a strange time of the year, and a lot of things were happening around this part of the world. We only had about six people in that class, but Les K4OL was the director of the class, and we had three other teachers, one myself included, that helped teach the class over that period of time. So it was kind of like a team teach thing, which kind of keeps it interesting. And then the people that were there got more out of it that way. We take questions and do all that. So the last one we did was about six people in a class.
Well, you know, I think sometimes the smaller classes are a little better, because it gives everyone a chance to ask questions. You know, if you have classes like this consistently, you know, all year long, and even if there's six in a group, you really, over a period of time, are adding an awful lot of amateurs to your community there. And,
well, exactly. And when they do that, they get, you know, they don't feel so bad about getting lost in the crowd. They can raise their hand, ask the question, and everybody learns from it. And it's more interactive that way. And I think whether you're young or middle-aged or old or whatever, if you can ask questions and have all that interaction with the teacher, the instructor, and what's going on as far as the class is concerned, it makes for a more interesting class, and it also helps those individuals that are in the class to grasp all of the technical end of it, as well as the rules and regulations, so that they can learn more.
Well, you know what? You're an excellent spokesperson for your group. You know, I love talking to folks like you. You know what's going on, and I've been telling everybody. You know, we were up all night setting up and everything, and you know, Ted's brain here is running on QRP, so it's nice when I have someone on the other end that's wide awake.
There you go.
Your club call sign again is W4RSC. Is that correct?
It's a Whiskey 4 Radio Sierra Charlie, or Whiskey 4 Radio Silver Comet for the Silver Comet Amateur Radio Society. And our webpage again is www.silvercometars for Amateur Radio Society. Silver Comet ARS.
Well, and you're just outside of Atlanta. And
exactly.
The other thing I was going to ask you, your club has been in existence for about 5 years now.
That's correct.
Okay. And how many total members do you have after the 5 years of coming about?
We started out slow, and we have had, and it's interesting because the Atlanta metro area, a lot of people come and go because they move, they get transferred or whatever. But if everybody was here, we probably have about 25, and most everybody that's in the group is very active. But we take those 25 people, and we get out in the community through emergency services.
Are you still with me? Hello? I think we've lost him. There goes the line. I heard him drop out. Well, that was Lee. And club call sign W4RSC. And what do you think about that, Michael? I love hearing hams talk about they're putting on regular classes, they're getting new licensees in. It just Sounds so cool.
Well, I think also he said the club was only 5 years old, so they've had a lot of activity and a lot of excitement going in just a short period of time, Ted. So a lot of clubs have been there 75 years. That's one thing, but these guys have really got all this going in the last few years, so I think that's noteworthy too.
Yeah, and in the meantime, if there's someone in the room here that has something like a 0.01 we could put across these speaker terminals, I think the speaker wire is acting as an antenna, and I don't have a sideband filter in my brain. I'm hearing these guys. We are being RF'd like you would not believe. Thank you for listening to us. If you want to know who we are, we are the QSO radio show. We are operating out of Cookeville, Tennessee. We're on WBCQ 7415, and we're broadcasting Field Day 2008. We've got people calling in from basically all over the country with their Field Day locations, and they're telling us all about what they are doing, and that's what's most important right now. And if you're a shortwave listener, if you've wondered a little bit about Field Day, this is the time to find out all about Field Day.
I'm wondering what, and I haven't been here the whole show, Ted, but have you got anybody from Alaska or Hawaii or any from the Caribbean, you know, the Virgin Islands, anybody? I know we've had West Coast people and we've had Northeast. Anybody from outside the continental U.S. called in yet?
Not yet. And I don't know. I mean, of course, we'll probably get more of that activity tonight. As the band goes long, and the signal on 7415 starts to spread out, but we will give the telephone number out for folks. If you are at a Field Day location, and maybe you're not a member of a club at this point in time, and maybe you're just having fun with the ARRL Field Day, you can still call us and tell us about what you're doing. We'd love to hear from you, and the phone number is 931-528-0133. That's 931-528-0133. We're talking about beginnings in ham radio in the first Field Day you ever saw. The first one I ever saw was in the Detroit area, and it was the Motor City Radio Club, and they were set up, I believe, at Ford Field, and I was just a little kid, and I was like, wow, you know, I want to do this. Okay, excuse me, folks, just a second. I'm addressing my son, Matt. We have someone on? Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Hello there, and welcome to Field Day. How are you today?
Very good. How are you guys doing today? It's warm up here in Newburgh, New York.
In Newburgh, New York.
Yes, sir.
How warm is it there?
Well, it's about 85 degrees the last time we looked while we were setting up.
About an hour.
Very good. Well, I appreciate you calling in. And what is your your club call sign?
Our club call sign is W2HO at Orange County Amateur Radio Club.
Well, very, very
good. We're working out of Carmer Hill Park. It's a county park in Newburgh, New York.
Well, very good. Well, tell me, how many stations have you got set up, and how many folks are on hand with you there?
Okay. We have approximately 18 people on hand right now. We are running three stations simultaneously. We also have a 6-meter station running and making contacts on that also.
And are you running any solar power or any unusual power at all?
Affirmative. We have a solar panel operation here that's coming out with 1,000 watts. We are running most of our stations off of that. At this point, they're running all stations off of solar panels.
Okay, now
We're also using a flagpole for a vertical antenna. We were written up in ARL and QST Magazine discussing our club and the flagpole.
Matter of fact, I saw that. I saw your flagpole. That was very cool.
Yep.
That was
And we're running it right now.
Now what band are you running the flagpole on?
Flagpole, I believe, is on 40 meters. I will check right now.
It's on 40.
It is. 40 meters of flagpole is on right now. A little noisy on the vertical, but we're running it anyway on CW.
All right. 40-meter flagpole.
Yes, sir.
Now, you see, that's what they call innovativeness.
It is very innovative here. Yeah. We started it last year, and it was very successful. We made a couple of contacts on it last year. One was to Indiana. One was to North Carolina. We were very satisfied with it, and we decided to do the same thing this year for Field Day.
Well, now, let me ask you this question. You're located now, it's funny, we're being RF so bad here, my headphones just disappear, so sometimes I only catch half of what folks are telling me. So, anyhow,
okay.
You're set up where at? Is this in a park?
We are set up in Cromer Hill Park. It is a county park in Orange County, New York.
All right, so now the general public can wander in and walk past you and see you and see all this going on.
Definitely they can. We also have a lookout tower that is very popular for people to come in. We have a log book, and we also have a table set up so people are interested in amateur radio. They can get information. We had several people just prior to me coming over here that was interested in taking a VE session and becoming a ham.
Oh, very, very good. Now tell me a little bit about your activity in the community, the type of things that you folks are involved in.
Okay. Numerous members of our club are involved in the Aries and the Races program that supports. We're a fairly small club, basically, in this area, but we support that. We also run multiple programs. We do a support for Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. When they have their field days like they have, they get out with scouting. We also support scouts that are looking to get merit badges in radio communication and all.
So that scouting program is really cool. How many do you think you've new hams have come about because of your interaction with the scouts?
I would say probably 7 or 8 in the last 2 years. We also had a couple of hams or a couple of scouts that transferred in from other councils, one out of Midwest and one out of the South that came up and retested and became hams also. So they brought the information with them from scouting when they were in the South.
Oh, very, very good. That's impressive. I like to hear stories like that. On your location there, or where you're at, you might want to pass along some names of some of the people there that are with you. And is there anybody else on board with you there that has any comments to make?
I just lost you. I didn't hear.
All right.
You asked. Okay, come on back with that. Repeat that message.
All right. Can you hear me all right now?
Yes, I can.
All right. I was going to say, you may want to pass along some names and call letters of some of the folks that are there with you. And is there anyone else on board there that that has anything they'd like to say or get on and talk about Field Day or something that they're doing there?
All right. Yes, right across from the table from me is Saul. He is the vice president of our club. And I presume he would like to give you some information. I will compile a list of the call letters and the names of the different members that are present here, and I will give it to him so he can give it to you. I'm going to transfer you over to Saul right now.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Hi, thank you. My name's Saul Rosinski. My call is WA2KOT. And I guess as Mickey said, we're operating here with our club call as W2HO, Whiskey 2 Ham Operator. That's the club call. And we're here, as you said, in Cromer Hill Park, which is in the town of Newburgh in Orange County, New York. It's an overlook, and we can look out over the Hudson River and see as far as Connecticut in one direction. And far south is New York City in another direction. There's an observation tower here, and we're using that observation tower to hold up some antennas. Is there anything else you'd like to know about what we're doing here?
No, you're doing a fine job. I was just, we're just wanting to talk and, kind of have you fill us in on what your activity is there, some of the folks that are with you there. Have you had any go ahead.
Excuse me?
I said, go ahead. You started to say something, and I interrupted you, but go ahead.
No, you said have we had any what?
Oh, I was going to say, have you had any of your, I want to say, city officials, county officials, or folks come by to visit?
Yeah, we did have one. We had a county legislator by the name of Christopher Ekus come by and say hello. And Chris is an interesting guy. He's part-time and works as a county legislator, part-time works as a physics teacher up in Newburgh. And he's the head of a solar car racing project up there in Newburgh. So he's deeply involved in technology, too. In addition to being a county official, he's deeply involved in technology, and we consider him to be a friend of ours. We've got, as Mickey told you, about 18 of our operators here, and I'm getting the list now. I can go down and tell you some of the people who are here. Well, first one on here is my wife, Bonnie, WA2LHJ, and she's the secretary of our club, and we've got I'm here, and Mark Copoletti, WM2C, and Bruce, K2ULZ, and Joe, NE2Z, and Ron, N2ATQ, and Steve, WB2OEE, and Jim, K2JIM, Mickey, who you were talking to, K2NRS. We've had some guests. We've had some of our ex-members come back and say hello, former members say hello. Phil Pipitone is sitting next to me. He's KC2DXM, and he especially wanted to give his regards to Alan Weiner over in, And Timmy, over at your operation. He's familiar with both of those fellas and wanted to specifically say hello to them. What we're trying to do here today, of course, is make as many contacts as possible in the 24-hour period that began at 2 p.m. And we're trying to contact other amateur radio stations on North America who are participating in this Field Day exercise. And Field Day is both a contest to see how many other stations we can speak with, and it's kind of an emergency test because we're out here with absolutely no infrastructure. No dependence on the telephone network, no dependence on the internet, no dependence on the power grid. And we're speaking to all of these people between tens of miles away and hundreds or even thousands of miles away, completely independent of infrastructure. And this kind of shows what ham radio can do. If we were in a, had this been a real emergency, we could be doing the same thing, completely independent of infrastructure. Talking to people from tens of miles away to thousands of miles away and basically getting important communications through without dependency on anything else except our own resources and the guy at the other end. Anything you'd like to ask me about what we're doing?
Well, the only thing that I would add to that or ask about it, and that is tell us a little bit about your interaction in the community. Now, I was talking to Mickey, and he was telling me a little bit, but if you have anything you can add to that as to how you folks interface your community and provide communications for your county, city, and officials and so on and so forth.
Well, basically what this is, what we're doing here today is strictly ham to ham. But if this was an emergency, for instance, if we were subject to flooding or we were subject to a hurricane or anything else, we would set up like this and we would pass messages on behalf of both governmental agencies, non-governmental agencies such as the Red Cross. We'd pass communications traffic for them in and out of the disaster-affected area. And that's basically what ham radio can do to serve the community with emergency communications.
Now, do you folks get called on for search and rescue and things like that right now, or do you participate in any of that at all?
I don't, but Mickey does. Mickey's very much involved in search and rescue operations. That's his thing. And we use ham radio to coordinate those things. It's used as a communications means to coordinate efforts like that.
Well, very good. I'll tell you, I really appreciate you guys calling in. I appreciate you participating. And be sure, now we're going to be on again tonight. And tonight, of course, we'll be covering an entire different portion of the country. And you'll want to call back in and report in again for the evening broadcast. That'll start, of course, at 11 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, 10 Central. And we very, very much would love to...
There'll be some people here, and we'll call in late. And I know you guys are on, I guess, you call it the 39-meter band, I guess, your main frequency. We call it the 40-meter band, just a little bit down in frequency. Our band runs from 7.0 to 7.3. And the propagation characteristics are pretty much the same, and we know what happens at night.
All righty,
so
well, listen.
We'll be sure to call back in.
We've got to run, but call back in, and good hearing from you.